We're going to have a game on Friday night. And then, of course, Sunday, you're going to have all your favorite games and just a complete junkie and off and running with a lot of really good football. So we'll get into all that stuff. And, of course, can't forget about what happened a couple of days ago. That Sunday night game, Canes and Notre Dame. It was a hell of a game, by the way, just to sit back and watch. But everything took place. I was looking at some of my notes that had written before. Hey, can we stop the run? We got to find some receivers out of this. How's your quarterback going to play? All those things, right? Is there going to be breakdowns in the secondary? And how do they match up with a team that went to a national championship game last year overall and has a lot of really good players? A lot of people thought it's the best running back room in college football. It's the best secondary in football. And they always have big guys that can play on both sides of the football, always. Since football started, Notre Dame's always had really good line play. So you're hearing that, and you're like, man, what's it going to look like? And boy, you got a lot of questions answered in that game. Anyway, Mario Cristobal will join us coming up here in the next segment, and we'll talk to the Canes coach. 27-24 win. Carter Davis, a 47-yard game-winning field goal, the biggest field goal by far of that man's life. To be honest, if I'm coaching, I'm probably thinking about trying to complete a pass and get a lot closer for that guy's kick. Field goal. Big. No matter where he's going to kick it from, it's going to be the biggest field goal of his life, knowing what was. And by the way, they're going to get the ball back. So if you miss it, Notre Dame's got a chance to go back in regulation and win that game. So Carter Davis makes the 47-yard field goal. And then that defense, especially the two guys on the outside, just teed off, and it was over. We also got a lot of other news. I didn't realize this was going to be such a big story yesterday, Tyreek Hill not being named captain of the Miami Dolphins. I got to be honest with you, a little overrated, the whole thing. The whole story is a little overrated, in my opinion. The captain thing is very important, don't get me wrong. And captains being named, and Mike saying these six guys were clear-cut what the team wanted in their votes. Tua, Alec Ingold, Zach Sealer, Aaron Brewer, Jordan Brooks, and Bradley Chubb. Get it. All guys, all class acts, all leaders of and the guys you want. But, boy, I'll tell you what, we've been on the Tyreek Hill dog pile and make sure he knows what he did at the end of the year and all these things. And Chris Perkins got an article out. It's a start in the right direction. And I'm just like, wow. So we're going to beat the crap out of him. Now we're going to ask him to go out and be the best player on the team that we really need you, really, really need you to have a big year. There'd been a lot of great players who weren't captains, by the way. So it was, and Tyreek Hill, they're really counting on him. We haven't seen him most of camp. He's been out. Matter of fact, the best news coming out as we start the week is the Dolphins get Tyreek back, Achan back, Austin Jackson back, Darren Waller, whatever that long layoff, he's back and he's going to be ready to go. So you get all the guys back that you haven't seen in some cases for a long, long time. Some guys you haven't seen at all. We'll be back to face the Colts in week one. And Mike made it a point to say, man, I like everything going on here a lot more than I've liked in the past, which, again, I get. But all the past, whether I hear our general manager or head coach talking about, you know, wasn't like this the last couple years, and I'm thinking, you know, you guys run the show. If it's not the way you want it, it's your job to fix it before we get into year four, isn't it? Isn't it your job a little bit? And you know, they're talking about, well, it was wins, but it didn't look and feel the way it should with what was going on around here. And I get it. I mean, I get the whole Jalen Ramsey thing. There's not a guy in that organization's got a good thing to say about him, from guys that mow the grass to there's no one without getting into position and title. but people that surround the players to that take care of him every day. He just not a great guy. Just not. But we put up with it. We knew what we were getting, and we said we can overlook it because he's going to show up and be a good player, and we need a good player at that position. And finally, this team said, those guys, they kill your team for what you get on the field on Sunday and Monday nights and Thursday nights. It's not worth it. Which, by the way, I got no problem with. None. I don't like timing of it look real bad and dysfunctional, but I get it. And we're going to go with this thing and see. It's got enough, you know, again, the frontliners stay healthy. Like you're going to have most of them going in this game. You got a good team. You have a good team. You do. You're going, well, what about the defense? What about that? They're going to be fine. I believe they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay in that position that everybody's worried about, cornerback position. And then they're going to play a lot of young guys. I like that. Should have been going on a lot earlier instead of those small draft classes that we got nothing out of, very little out of. So now we're going the other way, and here we go. Here we go, man, to watch the guys you have that they're making all the money. We need them to play really well, and we need the development of a young draft class real quickly, and guys that have been a big part of the draft classes the last 2 years to be and grow up and take the next step into being really good football players. So that combination of things, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about this week. We will have plenty of time to talk about all that stuff. We got a big show coming up. We're going to talk a lot about college football week 1, as the rankings will come out today because of that Monday night football game. ESPN couldn't wait to get Bill Belichick on there. How much of that game did you watch? Because that game was over sometime in the third. Over at half, if you really wanted to be honest, and it was bad. It was bad. And Bill Belichick's going to find out all that great NFL coaching that he's talking about and what he was going to bring and his coaching staff. And you still got to have players. You got to have players. It's great. You got a lot of guys in the media rooting for you and love you. And they wanted to get you on there in North Carolina. Was packed last night for that game. But at the end of the day, you got to have players. Michael Jordan and Lawrence Taylor aren't coming out to help you out. Great seeing them, though. Great shot. Great shot up there, man, of two of the best to ever do it in the NFL and the best to ever do it maybe in the NBA. Hey, we got to go to break here. We've got Mario Cristobal going to join us. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning with just a fun Sunday night, man, whether you watch it on TV, you listen on the radio, or you were there. And by the way, there were a lot of Canes fans there, man. It was great to see. So we're going to talk to Mario Cristobal about a lot of stuff during the game and answering some questions, what he's looking forward to as they go forward. We'll have all that with the head coach of the Miami Hurricanes when we come back. But I got to tell you, before we do that, man, it's truck month at your South Florida Chevy dealers. Oh, my gosh. Great offers on all trucks only at your nearest Chevy dealer. You got to go check it out. The Chevy lineup of dependable pickup trucks is unbelievable. Each one's capable, powerful, and more advanced than ever. Like the durable Colorado with its standard Turbo Max engine and impressive torque, you'll get aggressive off-road capability for every adventure that lies ahead for you. Hey, let's get in the Silverado 1500. Always ready, steady, and strong, delivering all the power, functionality, and advanced tech you'll need. Workday workhorse and a weekend warrior. Hey, you need a truck that goes 5, 6, 7 days of work a week and works as hard as you do? Boy, we got a truck for you. With Silverado HD, you'll feel confident in command no matter what task awaits. It offers big payload numbers, legendary horsepower, and one of the hardest working beds in the business. So whether it's a midsize, full-size, or heavy-duty truck, Chevy's got you covered, man. It's like they've custom-made a truck perfect for your working lifestyle and your casual lifestyle. See your South Florida Chevy dealers today for outstanding offers going on right now.
Hard Rock Stadium, what a catch by C.J. Daniels, who makes an announcement. He's here in Miami, And Beck, one more moment of magic, puts Miami in front 13-7. That was a tight needle to thread.
Carson Beck takes the snap, reads the defense, finds the open man, and throws the strike.
Miami 27-24 winners over Notre Dame on Sunday. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Mario Cristobal. Wonder if he got any sleep, Woody. What do you think? Hurricanes head coach joins us this morning. Coach, first thing is I could not get to sleep after the game. I was wondering, did you get any sleep or did you just stay up and come into the office? Before we get going, I need to know.
You might not have slept after the game, but your ass was nowhere to be found yesterday morning, brother, because we were working and waiting for my 6:20 call, and you're laying on the beach somewhere.
Well, I was laying somewhere, but it wasn't on that damn beach. So I'll just tell you.
For you, man.
Hey, congratulations, Coach. Man, that was fun. There's so many different parts to talk about getting that win. I got to start with before that game, and you made a point and always notice that. I don't know if I've ever seen six former NFL Hall of Famers that went to University of Miami at a football game before. How great's that? And seeing all those guys, a lot of them on the sideline. And by the way, there were a lot more than just the Hall of Famers, but I saw Jim Kelly and others were there.
Again, I just think it's another sign of the progress. You know, it's because that was always a big part about what was being a Miami Hurricane. And now that, you know, our team is playing better, we're getting just better across the board, everything. Our alumni, the prominent alumni and everybody else involved, they're showing up and engaging with our players and giving them just great just pieces and bits of information and mentorship. So it was an unbelievable environment. I'll tell you what, man, and the fans just flat out brought it, brother. That was an unbelievable environment.
Yeah, and there were a lot of Canes fans too, so that was great. Hey, first of all, to talk about the Canes' physical play on both sides of the ball, both the offensive line and defensive line, we've been talking about it. You felt good about it. I think a lot of people are going, I know Coach seemed pretty jacked up, but I want to start on the defensive side. How did Moten play and Blay and Scott all play in that game?
No, the interior guys did a really good job, and it certainly was a big test. Notre Dame prides itself on being physical. And look, a lot of credit to Coach Freeman and that entire organization. They are a physical, talented bunch, and it was a rock'em, sock'em, slug-it-out game, a complete heavyweight fight, and we found our way to get more wins than not and did a great job in shutting down their run. Their quarterback runs got us, you know, the draw lead and whatnot. But aside from that, I thought our guys did a really good job controlling the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, if somebody said you'd hold Price and Love to 78 yards total, as some people say it's the best running back duo in the college football, thought they did a real nice job. I know one guy bounced outside for a 30-yard run, but overall – really took them out of their game a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you know, the force player is supposed to be there to create a tackle for loss, possibly, or a one-yard gain. But you know what? For a first time out, and especially, you know, on a home game for a defense, always a little bit more difficult because of communication issues with noise. But for the most part, our guys did a good job communicating, and hats off to Coach Heatherman, the players, and the staff. They put together a hell of a plan, and, brother, they were swarming the football all night.
Well, speaking of a couple guys who were swarming, Mezidor and Bain, from the first snap to the last snap, were playing at a different level on speed rushes and just wearing those tackles out. How good was their performance overall, going back and looking at the tape?
Man, a product of their just commitment in, I mean, every year, but this offseason in particular, it was a different level of training, of body care, of film work, mentality, and watching the film, every ounce of it paid off, man. They were relentless. They were physical. They don't get tired. They just go. And they're always around the football. So when footballs take a funny bounce like that, Bain's right there to take it. And, you know, his running back skills were fully on display.
The offensive line, especially that right side, not to take away, just talking about some of the right side of that offensive line, Inez Cooper and Francis Maui Noah, some of those double team blocks and some of the individual blocks that they show when you need to get tough yards. Very impressive. How do they grade overall?
They graded out very well, just from start to finish. Extremely physical, and they chase defenders. You know what I mean? Like, the officials a lot of times like to get in our grill about, hey, you know, be careful with this and that. It might be a little bit too close to the edge. It's like, brother, we're finishing blocks. We're not trying to do anything dirty. So, and a guy doesn't get enough credit that had a great game. I mean, an awesome game. James Brockemeyer, man. He played lights out, and what an addition he's been to this program.
All right, so, you know, we're all talking about Carson Beck. I haven't even had a chance so far. I thought he was so good in that game, made some throws, slid a little bit out of the pocket, made some great throws. Overall, what do you think of his first game with the Canes?
I thought he played a great game. I really did. You know, there were some, like you mentioned, some great throws. Great job by the receivers, not only running routes, because I tell you, Notre Dame is hard to throw the ball against. They are really good on the back end, and they pressure you. You know, we did a good job protecting, but also great job by the receivers blocking. I mean, they're blocking, their effort levels, Carson's command of the offense, all together, man, all these guys just gelled. And Carson, you know, he just doesn't get phased at all. He doesn't. He's a great leader on the sideline, on the field. And he made a lot of big-time plays and put us in some really good plays as well. Got rid of the football when there was pressure. He was excellent.
All right. So that catch, you know, you go, hey, you start calling your buddies. You ever make a catch like that? Go, no. C.J. Daniels catch before the half to put you up 14-7. You've seen a lot of great ones. How good is that between knowing the safety's behind you and knowing and you're going up to get it, knowing there's a good chance you're going to get popped, even though he didn't, to concentrate and make that one-handed catch?
Yeah, great call by Coach Dawson, man. He great. I don't know if you saw the route itself, but a double move.
Yep.
He gets grabbed. You know, our guys were getting grabbed all night and did a great job not complaining or bitching to the referees, which that's what I'm really proud of. No complaining, no whining, just play. He double moves him, right? He sticks him and goes. And it's a, you know, it's a red zone beater. They're in post safety, and the post safety comes on over. And he goes for the ball.
Yep.
Not thinking that, you know, CJ could get up there. But my Lord, I mean, he gets so he Spider-Man that ball and tucked it in. And just, again, this it made the middle eight the middle 13 because we kept the ball for so long at the end of the first half and at the beginning of the second half.
All right. And that other guy. Since day one, I guess going back to spring and people are going, well, it's spring football, you know, it's pretty generic. Let's wait and see. And this Malachi Toney, man, and some of the routes he ran, those in and out routes. I mean, you talk about getting separation, 6 for 82 and a touchdown. And then he returned punts for you. I did not know you had that much confidence in him for a first game out. When did you know he had a chance to be a big part of that game plan?
Oh, very early. I mean, it's so natural. Football's so natural for him. And the thing is, he's also a super invested guy. Like, he's beyond his years in terms of his investment, his approach to the game. He's in here day and night working on mind, body, scheme, technique, fundamentals. Like, he approaches a game like an absolute veteran, like a pro. And he just doesn't flinch. And you know, you got to show it in practice before, you know, before you do it in a game, especially a game with an opponent of that caliber. Game day is not an experiment, man. You know, it's got to be dudes you trust that can go do it. He earned everybody's trust, and great start for him, man.
Yeah. All right. So I got to get in this whole Carter Davis thing, man. I went from not knowing much about Carter Davis to knowing a lot. A lot of people did, and your trust in him. So Coach, I'm watching this, and you guys run it three – at the end there three times to get it to the 30. And all I'm saying, Coach, I wish you'd get a little closer. Let's take some pressure off. And he ripped it right down the middle. And it could have been good from, I don't know, 60 maybe. I mean, he ripped it. Tell me about your thought on getting a little closer, or you were fine, or where did you get where you finally said, he's okay, this is the guy we want right now to kick it?
Well, there are a lot of things in mind to keep in mind. Number one was we had gone three and out a few times on the other side on offense, and our defense had been on the field a long time, so we're not going to give the ball back. Okay. Then the second part, as to what we mentioned earlier, we trust what we see in practice. Carter had been nailing 50 pluses at a super high percentage. He really has. So for us, getting them to burn all their timeouts, which, of course, the play at the end, because one sack, they got to just run all the way back to line of scrimmage. And, you know, you basically – you cut their play count to about three when you do that, far into the game. The second part was, I mean, our offensive linemen, they're playmakers for us. Some people don't view their offensive line as that. For us, those backs, that offensive line, playmakers for us. We felt good about the calls. We felt good that we could knock them back. We came up a little bit short, but we were 7-8 yards beyond the kick line that we felt good about. So when we got there, we sent him in, and you know, he drilled it. But he's been doing that since he got here. So we had a ton of confidence in him. Certainly would have loved to get the first down and, you know, completely just wind that clock down and get a little bit closer. But once we got, you know, inside the 34-yard line, we felt really good.
Was there any thought of throwing one, a safe? I don't know if there's a lot of safe throws, but in that game, Notre Dame's so good in the secondary. But what did you think about a throw in there or throwing it? I know that stops the clock. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, with Coach Dawson, and then you got to trust. At the end of the day, this is a staff that's constructed the number one offense in the country a year ago and is extremely diligent and felt like it felt these were the right calls, felt really good about the entire game plan and felt this was the direction to go. And it worked out exactly like we planned. You know, we throw the ball and it gets tipped and it gets intercepted and they kick a field goal. Then you're on here telling me, hey man, why'd your ass throw the ball when you have a kicker kicking them from 50? So it's just the way it rolls, man. You got to trust what you practice. Trust what you game plan and roll with it. And if it doesn't work out, well, you know, just keep getting better. But it worked out exactly like we planned it and practiced it.
Yeah. I was just curious, overall, you had the one breakdown, mental breakdown, to the tight end out there and they end up getting a faster score than you would have liked at that point. But, how'd you feel breakdown wise? I know it was a big problem a year ago. It looked like that was the only bad one that you had. I know it was bad, but only the one?
Yeah, that was a tough one. You know, the linebacker got his hands on the tight end for a second. So the safety, you know, he took his eyes outside. And so the tight end came scot-free. You know, he thought he was going to zero him up, but he didn't. And he got behind us and the quarterback found him. Right, he broke contain, got out there and threw it out to him. Aside from that, the 30-yard run that bounced, you know, we're supposed to have the nickel. He's the fourth player there setting the edge. And he got washed all the way inside. So really good block by them. And again, not being assignment perfect by us. Aside from that, man, there might've been some here and there, but overall tremendous communication, playing hard, physical, running of the football, playing with better hands, much more physical on the perimeter. I mean, that interception, Damari Brown.
Oh my God. Great complete play.
He's a nightmare to block out there. He's a 200-pound corner that's, I mean, the guy's explosive, and just that ball just bounces all over the place. And again, Bain chasing the ball. Good things happen when you chase the ball.
Yeah. By the way, you talk about not giving up on a play late in a game. And then, like we talked about, the motor running on those two defensive pass rushers at the end of that game, they were just unblockable. Matter of fact, the only people who knew it more were those two tackles. Like, it was like they didn't touch them. They just inside, outside, and you get them to force it. You get another 10 seconds off the clock there. It was just fantastic. Hey, the number one stat nobody talks about, you don't turn the ball over at all, and yet your defense gets two takeaways in the game, which ends up being huge in that game a year ago. Notre Dame was so good at that stat.
It was the number one priority for us. They had forced more turnovers, created more fumbles, and had the highest plus turnover margin in the country. And you said it, man. We hung on to that thing, kept it high and tight. We forced two, one of them ending up in a field goal. The other one, obviously, we botched the field goal. The snap was a little bit wide, the holder could not handle it. But that part right there, that changes games, man. You know what? They led the country in block kicks as well and in fakes. We had a great plan against their fakes. We were able to nullify them actually running their fakes because of what we had in the game. And at the same time, we from a punch standpoint, we schemed it up where everything, I mean, I won't get into detail about the schematics of it, but we prevented ourselves from any type of negative play in the and besides the muffed snap on field goal.
Mario, winning that game has just got to do for your confidence and for you guys to come back in. And I know it's a different, completely, you know, different competition this week. It's still a game, but just the confidence of playing a team that was favored to win the game in general, one of the top teams in the country. It's got to do unbelievable things for the start, for the confidence for your team and your coaching staff.
Probably the biggest thing is the acknowledgement that if we just continue to get better, just a little bit better every single week, just keep identifying the things that we got to improve upon, and we really are intentional and come to practice with a purpose and get that done, brother, we can have a special season. But it's got to be real, and you know it will be real. I mean, you know, today, you know, the happy moments in the locker room, by the time you get to meetings, man, it's on, right? And it should be, right? Because you've got to make sure your intensity is dialed right back up, right? That you're never, ever going backwards. So, but I think I do have confidence that this team and this staff, they get it. They're very driven, and they allow themselves to get pushed. And as you well know, we're going to push.
On top of all that, the recruiting aspects of it, I know that's kind of the part behind the scenes, and obviously it becomes a big part, as you saw in that game, how important it is to still have great recruiting classes. Did you have a lot of guys in for that game?
Yes, it was an absolute – it was a mob scene of high-level elite talent throughout the weekend, after the game, all day, all night, yesterday, and today. There are still more people in town.
Wow.
So, yeah, things like that. And I think this is what's really big, Joe, is they all had an opportunity to feel that game day environment at Hard Rock. They had an opportunity to be there for an orange out in a top 10 battle and watch the Canes play a really strong brand of football and the progress of our team. So let's just keep getting better. But certainly part of it is stay relentless on recruiting, because a game like that, even though it's just game one and you still got a lot of stuff to do, it validates a lot of the stuff that we've been working on and that what we've been preaching since day one. So let's just keep going from here.
Well, a lot of good stuff, man. A lot of good stuff. A lot of guys got in on the rotation as well. So, Coach, congratulations. Thanks for coming on this morning. I did sandbag you yesterday, but thank you very much.
I'm glad you got your beauty rest, brother. God bless you.
All right. All right. Thanks. Mario, I'm at that age, man. Man, you get a little older. You got to get that extra sleep. All right. I want to thank Mario Cristobal for coming on. Spent a little bit of time. As you can tell, he's jacked up, and it's just the whole thing. The win, recruiting just sets you up for a lot of good things. Still early in the year, but great start for the Canes. Hey, I'll tell you what else is great. Talk about Atlantic Men's Clinic first thing in the morning. ED, low T, anything you're going through. And by the way, every guy out there that's listening right now, some happens. Yeah, I didn't know this. Atlantic Men's Clinic, they say it happens to guys in their late 30s, 40s, into their 50s. 60s, you're just about done. You're going to have low T, and usually with low T comes ED. Starts with your energy level, tired, foggy, start to get snappy about things that never used to bother you, and like, oh man, oh, you got low T real bad. And then it affects your sex drive, starts to affect it, then it's hit and miss, and then it's just miss. And when it's completely missed, like nothing's working in the bedroom, that's when it's you got a problem, and that's when it started to affect me. I got to tell you, I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I'm so glad I did. I've been telling everybody about it for 14 months now, 15 months now. I just want to let you know, man, I set up that first appointment, met with Atlantic Men's Clinic. They have 7 locations, including a brand new location in Hollywood. It's fantastic. You get your T, your PSA test done. You meet with their professional staff. They go over everything. You tell them what's going on with you. And they look at your numbers after all the testing. They put you on a program that's going to get you great results. And if you want to get rid of low T and ED, you can do it. Do it. And I mean quickly. The number one question I get, how long before it kicks in? I got it. How long before it gets fixed? Quickly. I'm telling you right now, you're in for great results, number one. But you got to go. You got to go set up. It's peace of mind. Take all your questions with you. Tell them what's going on, and you are going to start feeling great, man. Atlantic Men's Clinic worked for me. I know it's going to work for you. 7 locations, like I said. But you got to call 877-455-7300 or visit AtlanticMen'sClinic.com. Set up that first appointment. It works.
With the Dolphins, Zach Sealer, and he's on board to speak at a school. Go to WQAM.com and enter an elementary school in Broward or Dade now for a chance to win. to get a visit from Zach Sealer. Well, he'll speak to the students and more. For contest rules, go to WQAM.com.
He's got a hell of a message. I can tell you that, man. Talk about, you know, the exact opposite of the first or second round road to the NFL. He's been through it all. And Zach and the guys can't wait to see what it's going to look like this weekend as the Dolphins get set this week to open it up on the road against the Colts. Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was a man. Anyway, we'll get starting job for the Colts, and we'll see what happens. And for the first time in a while, Tyreek Hill, Achan, Austin Jackson, and it looks like Darren Waller will play. And I am really curious to see what that's going to look like. He's going to be 33 this month. And he's been out of football and didn't do much in camp to see how quickly he can get this thing going, get himself ready to go from after missing about everything you can miss, short of just throwing against air, and now practicing a little bit with his guys this week before getting after it in a game situation, not a preseason game, not a joint practice, but getting after it after being out for taking a year off from the National Football League. So we'll find out together. Honestly, I have no idea. I feel good about this game for the Miami Dolphins, but truly overall, I have no idea what to expect. I don't. So when somebody throws out they could win 9 or 10 games, I go, yeah. And if somebody says they might have 8, I don't know. And then I got writers telling me we just need a little bit of luck on the injury bug that's been hitting this team. And listen, that's just part of this deal. This is going to be a lot of guys get hurt, and hopefully the guys that get hurt, it'll only be 4 or 5 weeks and we'll be able to come back, especially the key guys. And you hope the development of the back end of the roster can catch up, so there's not a drop off in talent when they do get hurt. I want to talk about this Tyreek Hill thing. Woody became like a second or third story yesterday. Tyreek Hill, not a captain. And it was like, okay, but I mean,
well, it's not surprising. We talked about it.
Yeah, but here, like, right? So is that like, didn't you think that was kind of weird yesterday? It was like,
no,
ESPN, I it was like it was one of the top stories.
It's kind of a big deal, actually, right?
Chris Perkins is.
Joey's your best player.
Yeah,
he's probably your best player. You look at those guys that were named captains. He's probably your best player. I mean, it's not a big deal as long as it's not a big deal to him.
Oh,
I don't. He's mentally with him. I don't know.
I don't think
day to day, right? But
I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think it's a big deal. I'll tell you what's a big deal. Freaking get me the ball, and let me show everybody how good I am again. That's the only motivation.
Look, it's a notable story. There's no question about it, but it becomes a big deal if it's a problem for him. I don't know if he's upset. We'll see how this week goes.
So I think he knows why. He knows what he said. And he knows what has happened. But
you still, man, sometimes these guys, when you do stuff to insult them, you see what it does to them, right? And I hate to keep going back to Jimmy Butler, but it's like when you told Jimmy he wasn't going to start, he took his ball and went home.
Yeah, but
so I don't think this will happen with Tyreek. I don't think he's going to be upset. Hopefully not going to be that upset about it. But these guys, you know, they require a certain level of coddling, don't they?
I got to tell you, it looks like the coddling is way down on him to me.
I hope so.
And by the way, it's now like, okay, you made your point to Tyreek and the team has spoken. It was a team vote. So everybody has spoken. But they also know that he's really, really important if this thing is going to work this year. And we're talking about whatever the number is that you're going to win, getting the max. I got to tell you, two is obviously the most important piece. But I'm not so sure Tyreek Hill's not second most piece of you having success, needing one of the real unique guys on the outside that truly, listen, I don't care what his numbers were last year, he's number one guy. And it's the team's job to get him the ball. Some of it's on him, but a lot of it is for you to get him to run the routes that are going to give him a chance And listen, we all win. When he wins, we all win. When he has six or seven catches for 130 to 160 yards, there's usually a touchdown or two in it. Again, he wins.
Well, that's
we win.
Happens Sunday, right? I mean, he has to have a big game. But as far as his captain thing, man, again, as long as it's not a big deal to him,
there ain't no stats in captain.
I just hope he doesn't care.
That there ain't no stats in captain when they do the NFL top 100 players, yeah. They don't go how many of these guys are captain.
Just don't need him being salty to start the season because he wasn't named a captain. So I hope they addressed it with him and made sure it's all good before they just did that.
I'm guessing that has been talked about. I'm guessing everybody's talking about how good the locker room's been. He's been. I think the bigger issue is that he's back and practicing this week. To me, that's a big story.
Just another reason for him to have one of those big FU return seasons here, right?
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, by the way, Carson Beck, you can say whatever you want. And Carson Beck, you could tell, listen, the difference in a quarterback play, and I get it. One guy's been around. That's the way it should be. One guy's played in a zillion big games. He's beaten really good teams. And the other guy, and by the way, it wasn't just his fault, but the Notre Dame quarterback, they made sure he got all. I mean, he was fine, and he got more comfortable, and he
was better than some young quarterbacks.
But
out
he
there.
still made some.
Yeah,
he made some, like throwing it
a couple
at the
of those
end of the
grounding
game.
Plays, yeah, do it because you get a runoff on those. Yeah.
Right. And through one, he throws out, and there's nobody out there.
That happens when you got a guy with no experience.
True. No. Hey, they made up their mind, and listen, he ended up.
He let him back into that game, though, man.
He did.
I give him a lot of credit.
He did, and they made up, you know, their mind on him. And, hey, listen, that's a good team. I had somebody try to tell me, Notre Dame team's a little overrated. I go, what are you talking about? Let's stop. Hey, there's a good chance. Notre Dame, if they get past Texas A&M, I don't know how good Texas A&M is, but they're top 20 ranked team, like a lot of
SEC
teams.
The SEC got knocked around, though.
They did, but I got to tell you, if Notre Dame beats Texas A&M, I don't know if that game's this week or next week. It's their next game. They're probably not going to lose another game. They don't play another ranked opponent. The only opponent that still ranks Boise State, who your school just beat the crap out of, and they're going to be out of the top 25 for that loss. Yeah.
I also think Notre Dame's a well-coached team, right? Yeah. I think that guy's a really good coach, and they have plenty of good players over there. So, yeah, they'll be fine. But this whole notion of, like, being overrated, I mean, not that it matters, right? It doesn't really matter.
Hey, listen, you know what?
He's got to win the games. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
You know, and look, yeah, you want to get
off
to a great start. Preseason
rankings suck. I mean, they just do.
But now we got these games played. So now the teams that lost are going to get knocked down, and some of the top teams will not, like Texas, not going to get knocked down a lot.
No, nobody who lost in week one is done. Like, no one's out of it, right? I mean, conference play is obviously what this is going to come down to, especially for a team like Miami.
But I think I'm kind of curious to see what everybody's thoughts are today when they come out with the rankings. But again, do they really count? Hey, Miami basically gets this week off.
I saw someone from ESPN had FSU at number 3.
They played great.
Win, but
the Tommy Castellanos show was a good one. Like,
you talk about a team that might not be that good, Alabama. You know, they may have taken a little bit of a step back without that coach.
I don't know.
Again,
TV hits. I would just tell everybody to calm down a little bit here. And find out. But hey, good for Florida State. You talk about biggest win of the weekend. Florida State's what, 13.5-point underdog at home?
It's a great win.
And
no, we're not taken away from that
and
win.
They got after, man. They ran for 236 yards against Alabama. So they said, hey, we're gonna get after you a little bit. So that would
that Kane schedule's looking real juicy though, isn't it? Right in that middle portion. Florida State, SMU.
Oh no, you got some. You
looking
got
a little juicy.
You got
there,
your.
Man.
You got. That's why you want to build up wins right now, man. You want to build up
that
wins.
Would be ideal.
Get after them.
But again, it's going to come down to the conference, Joe. If you slip up in the conference, it doesn't matter. Yeah. All this stuff will be.
That's
you
true.
Know,
that's
won't
true.
Really matter.
We know that. We know you lose. You lose at the end of the year in their
Virginia
ACC
Tech,
games.
They're at the end of the year, like
and
those
not,
are the games.
Not playing in the conference championship game, then you got a problem. All right. Hey, 7 o'clock hour's coming up here. We got a lot more stuff to get to. His, we're kind of knocking some stuff around here. Yes, Bethune-Cookman is up next for the Miami Hurricanes. Right now, speaking of Hurricanes, I want to talk about hurricane season. This is the month, man. This is the month, man. Say your prayers, and hopefully South Florida stays safe, but you can still protect your home with Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing. You got that old leaky roof, and I know what you're thinking. Honey, let's get through one more year. We can save up some money. Hey, you don't have to. Replace your old roof now. You can pay later when it comes to Loctite. They'll take care of you. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. And you can save big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact windows and doors. Impact windows is low as $6 per window per month installed. Hey, if you're trying to make a decision right now whether to do it or not and who you're going to go with, put Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing on that list. Don't wait for the next storm. Visit Loctite Impact again. That's LoctiteImpact.com, LoctiteImpact.com, or call 954-500-LOCK. They got a professional team of guys and big sports fans. They'll answer the phone and take good care of you. Get you started. Answer all your questions. Hey, man, it is hurricane season. If something's been on your mind, maybe it's time to call Loctite Impact windows, doors, and roofing.